Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Father, give us something for our lives in Jesus' name. The Word of God says that unless I come to Him as a child, unless we come as little children, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless we come as children, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We cannot enter into it, is how the Word of God puts it. Unless I come as a child, I cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It's Matthew 18:3. The Word of God says, "And He said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Unless I humble myself as a little child, I cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if I humble myself as a little child, then I will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is that talking about? It is not talking about salvation. It is talking about a kingdom. Kingdoms are governments. What it is saying is that heaven can only be governmental in my life if I have a simple faith like a child. A child does not question or reason. A child believes. A child goes up to his daddy or his mommy and they say something and the child simply believes. And as mommy or daddy said it, this is the way it is. Unless I humble myself as a little child, I cannot have heaven be governmental in my life. Unless what my Father in heaven has told me, unless I simply believe it, heaven will not be a government in my life. Other things will be governmental. Sight, emotions, natural reasoning, natural thinking, natural relationships, natural considerations, fear. Fear is a big one. Fear is the biggest thing that governs believers' lives apart from God. Unless I simply believe, then those things will govern my life. But if I simply believe God, if I simply believe God's Word, if I simply believe His character, simply believe His promises, simply believe His faithfulness, if I simply believe, then heaven will not only govern me, it will govern me in the greatest way. It will completely encompass all facets of my life and my mind and everything that is my frame of reference for all my thinking. If I simply believe with a simple faith. Where believers get in trouble, and this is important, listen to this carefully. Where believers get in trouble is when they walk away from a simple faith. If I walk away from a simple faith, it will be my downfall. Not that I will necessarily go out and out sin, but I will lose the sweetness that I have with God. Believers get in trouble when they walk away from a simple faith. Believers get in trouble when they walk away from a simple faith. Never walk away from a simple faith. Why? Because it's true. It's real. Because it's real. When I walk away from a simple faith, this world takes on a reality to me that is more real than God's. But in 1 Corinthians 13 says, we see as in a glass darkly. In other words, it's simply a looking glass. It's a mirror, but it's not a very good mirror here. You see, I can't see much of anything. One of the things that I thought was very interesting is when Don Piper, in his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, one of the things that he had observed was the vividness and the reality, the concreteness of heaven. This world is kind of like an illusion. There is a semblance of reality to it, but it's not a permanent reality. It is a stage. But it's not actual life. It's just a stage. And I don't mean a stage of growth. I mean like a theatrical stage. And it is not actually real, because it will pass away. What is real is the thing that cannot pass away. What is real is God and His Word. What is real is souls. What is real is fruit. What is real is God in my life. What is real is a relationship and a communion and a fellowship and a unity with God. Those things cannot pass away. Those things are real. The stuff out here that we so often respond to, it's not even real. It is an illusion and a deception that was devised by the enemy to take me away from a simple faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Word of God says, as Paul is exhorting Timothy, the young preacher, the young man, and Timothy was a young man at the time, late teens, early 20s, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. That tells me something. There is a battle to be fought in, and it's a battle for faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Get a hold of it. Grasp it. Don't relent it. Don't let it go. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Your eternal life is your calling, and the details of your calling on earth are simply those things that will bring you into the experience of your eternal life. So fight the good fight of faith and lay hold unto eternal life. The things that are eternal life, lay hold on these. What is eternal life to the believer? The finished work. The Word of God. Prayer, meditation on God's Word. The body of Christ. These things are eternal life. Mercy. The goodness of God. God's compassion. God's loving kindness. These things are eternal life. So lay hold on these things, and you'll be able to fight the good fight of faith. And hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You have already professed a good profession. Timothy, you are a young man. And in Isagogics, he was in his late teens, early 20s at this point. And the senior apostle is saying to him, Timothy, you are a young man. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to those things that are eternal life so you can fight the good fight of faith, because you have already had a good profession before many witnesses. A good profession is a good testimony before many witnesses. The many witnesses are the witnesses that are looking down in the heavenlies, those who have gone before us and the angels. Paul said we are a spectacle. We are a spectacle to a great host. So we are on this stage, and your life has already been a beautiful testimony, Timothy. Your life has already been a beautiful testimony. Souls have already gotten beautifully saved. Lives have been beautifully transformed because of your life. Timothy, when the fight for your faith comes, fight a good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, because that's your source with which to fight the good fight. Be a good soldier for Christ. That's what he's saying. Be a good soldier for Christ. Fight a good fight. Remember in the book, Evidence Not Seen, story of Darlene Deebler Rose. Very good book if you have not read it. I know some of you have. She was a missionary in the Philippines when World War II broke out, and she was taken into captivity. And the man who was leading the mission, as she was just about to be taken captive, he was a spiritual father to her, I believe. He said to her, "Darlene, be a good soldier for Christ." This was a young woman. She was in her early 20s, freshly married. Her husband was taken captive. And he just looked at her and he said to her, "Be a good soldier for Christ. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life and fight the good fight." And she did. And at times her life was devastating. She lost her husband. He was a young preacher. She lost him. She was tormented. She has all kinds of sicknesses that came in the jungles. She was starved. At one point she thought she would be beheaded. But she fought the good fight. She wasn't beheaded. She won her captor to Christ. She fought a good fight. Fight the good fight. And in the end, she was delivered. She has a family now. She goes and she shares her testimony with countless people. Her life has touched countless people. Because she fought the good fight. Paul is saying, fight the good fight. Don't bow out of the fight. Fight a good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Your life has already had a tremendous testimony. Lives have already been tremendously transformed because of you. So when the fight comes, fight the good fight. See, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Word of God says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, this is what the serpent did to Eve. He corrupted her mind from simplicity. A life with God is really very simple. Faith is really very simple. It is like a child believing his father. The father says it, it is so. And unless I enter in as a little child, unless I humble myself as a little child, then the father's government cannot be the government of my life. So Paul said, "I fear," just the same way that Satan had corrupted the simplicity that is in Christ toward Eve, that he should do it towards you. I fear that you will stop believing the Word, that you will stop believing God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. I fear that you will complicate it with your own thinking. I fear that things will be very confusing and complicated to you because you have stopped simply believing and simply trusting in the simplicity of God's Word and God's promises. That you have stopped simply believing in the simplicity of the fact that God will always be faithful to you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I fear for you, lest this should happen just like it happened to Eve. Satan lied to Eve. And he still lies. You see, in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. If I am a person who, because of lack of time in the Word of God, because I have not been in the Word of God or exposed to it for very long, only year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. If I am a person like this, then the Word of God is going to give me life. Turn to it. Turn to God's Word, God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. And it will give you life. And if you are simple in this way, not because you are foolish or ignorant or anything is wrong with you, but because you have not yet matured into the fullness of who God is in your life, then the Word of God will also give you understanding. Trust His Word. Trust His Word. In Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When do you need a lamp and when do you need a light? You do not need the lamp when the light is shining, when the sun is out. It is in the dark times that you need a lamp and a light. And so God's Word, in the times when I cannot sense God's presence, God's Word in the time when I am struggling or I am going through a trial or when things are difficult for me in some way or another, God's Word is a lamp to my feet. God's Word shows me the way I should go. And it's a light unto my path. And if I am there for a long time, then God's Word illuminates for me the direction and the entire path which I need to take. So what do I do if I don't know what to do? Many people are brought into this position. God, I don't know what to do. I've been there many times. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. You know what you do? God's Word. Draw near unto God, and God draws near unto you. Abide in the calling wherein you have been called. That's what you do. What does that mean? I draw near to God's Word. I draw near to God's Word. I draw near to my call. I remain faithful where I am. I don't change. I remain faithful. I abide. The Word of God says, don't meddle with those who are given to change. Don't mess with them. Don't hang around them. Don't meddle with them. Meddle not with those who are given to change. Why? Because they're not abiding. When I don't know, I be careful about who I hang around. Proverbs talks about this extensively. A man will be like the company he keeps. And so I do not keep the company of those who are not godly. Why? Because you will become like them. I don't want to be ungodly. I don't want a rebellious element in my life. I want an element that loves God, that draws God to my life, and I want that to be built up in me. I want God in my life. And I draw near to those who quicken me and who encourage me and who build me up in having God in my life. But those who would draw me away, those I do not hang around. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, found this out the very hard way. And Israel paid the price for his mistake. His father had died. But his father's advisors and close friends were still there for his son. And so he went to his father's advisors and close friends and he said, what shall I do as the king with Israel? And they gave him wise counsel. But he was a youth and he did not take wise counsel. He went to others who did not know God, who were ungodly, and he took ungodly counsel. And so he changed. And because of that change, Israel went into captivity for 490 years. Judah would not follow him. That's why their captivity eventually, because of their ungodliness that came down the road, was only 70 years. I don't follow the ungodly. If I don't know what to do, I live in conviction. Some of you live in conviction beautifully. But if I don't know what to do, I live in conviction. I live in truth. I live in the Word of God. I live in those things that I have been taught. I live with the voice of the teacher behind me saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And His Word becomes a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, the word lifted up is epau, and it means to be proud or presume, to carry on an act of presumption. What is presumption? Presumption is a thought that goes contrary to God's Word. That's presumption. That is also the definition of pride. Anything that is contrary to God's Word is pride, and if I act on it, it is presumption. That is the great transgression. That's what the Word of God says, that presumption is the great transgression. So when I go contrary to God's Word, the thought is pride. The action is presumption. The soul of the one which is lifted up is not upright in him. It is not in right standing with God. That's not to say he's not saved. That's just to say he's not rightly related. How is he not rightly related? By not being rightly related to the Word of truth. By not being rightly related to grace, God's government. By not being rightly related to God's faithfulness, character, promises, and Word. The only way that I can be rightly related to God is to be rightly related to Him through faith. Faith in what? Word, character, promises, faithfulness. That's what. But the just is the person who has practical righteousness, shall live by faith. So if I have practical righteousness, if I have practical godliness, I have practical godliness because I am rightly related and live in trust toward God's Word, God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. And that is the only way that I can have righteousness before God that is practical, that is experiential. Positionally, I will never lose my righteousness. Experientially, some people enter into it through faith and some do not. Several people here have entered into it beautifully. Faith. Faith. Simple faith, folks. Simple faith. Faith there is muna. In Hebrew, and it means truth and faithfulness. But it's not my truth and my faithfulness, it's God's character and His actions. So what it's saying there is the just shall live by trusting the faithfulness of God. That's what that word means. The just live by trusting the Word, the character, the promises, and the faithfulness of God. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God takes me from one place to the next in the maturation process as He's causing me to go. Why does He do this? Because He loves me and He has a plan for my life and He wants me to enter into the fullness of that plan so I can get fullness of the reward, so I can have the fullness of His life right now. And so He takes me from one place where I have to trust God's Word, God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. And when I have victory there, He'll let me enjoy the victory for a season. And then after a season, He'll bring me into a new place where I have to trust God's Word, God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. And when I have victory there, He lets me enjoy the victory for a while. And then He brings me into a new place where I have to trust God's Word, God's character, God's promises, and God's faithfulness. And that's my life. And this is the training process. If I could make people understand, if I could put this thought into people's minds, I would. And I do my best to do it. Listen to this. This world is not your life. This world is the springboard into your life. This world is where you get equipped for your life. This world is, you know what it is? This world is boot camp. It's not the military yet. It's boot camp. This world is my training ground for eternity. Why? Because if I stay in the training without running, then I'm going to reign with Him. Oh, I don't care if I reign with Him. Then you don't know what it means. It's not just ruling over people. That's such a superficial thought. It's intimacy and closeness. It's the inner circle of Christ. That's what reigning is. It's unique revelation for the morning star crowd. It's the morning star crowd that reigns. That's what reigning is. It's eating at the tree of life for eternity, the tree that allows me to have those special revelations. A unique insight into who God is and a unique relationship that is closer than all those others in heaven that only the morning star crowd will have. Well, this life is there to equip me for that life. This is not the end all, guys. This is 70 and out. And if you have any more than that by virtue of strength, it's all vanity anyway. This life is not the end all. You may think 70 is old. And that'll be a long time. But you know what? It's coming the day after tomorrow. And I don't care if you are a teenager. 70 is coming the day after tomorrow. And by the way, nobody has promised you 70. That's just the average. Never forget in the ER, youngest person I saw die was 2 months. I saw children die. I saw a surprising number of teenagers die. I saw 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. The oldest I saw was 104. And you know what? Get this. I saw more of the young ones die than the old ones. Death is equal opportunity. It's not an age discriminator. You have been allotted a certain number of days. This is why David said, teach me to number my days. He didn't say, teach me to number my years. He didn't assume that he had years. He said, teach me to number my days. It was wisdom. Because those are the days that he has to get ready. And he doesn't have a single day more. Folks, be so, especially if you are young, be wise and careful with how you use your decisions. Use them toward God. Use your decisions toward God. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You see, this was the deception. This was the removal from simplicity. This was the removal from simple faith with which Satan beguiled Eve. This is it right here. Listen carefully. The fear of man was a snare. Now, what does that mean? If I'm afraid of people? No. The fear that a man possesses. That's what the fear of man is. The fear of man is the fear that a man possesses is a snare. Why? Because it is the diametric opposite of faith. Fear and faith are opposites. Just the same way that black and white are opposites. Night and day are opposites. Fear and faith are opposites. Fear is from the wrong kingdom. If I have fear in my life, that's a red flag to me. Somewhere in my life, I have been fellowshipping with thoughts that came from the wrong kingdom. Because it was Satan that beguiled Eve through fear. He tricked her into wrong choices through fear. I never make a decision based on fear. Why? Because I'm making a decision based on beguilement. I never make a decision based on fear. It will be the wrong decision every time because it is not based on the character of God, and it's not based on the love of God, and it's not based on the Word of God, and it's not based on the promises of God. It is based in the wrong source. I never choose according to fear. That's how he beguiled her. That's how the fall came. And not only is it a man's fear, but it's a man's fear, and the source of that fear is Satan's initiation to the Edenic nature. That's what the original language brings out. That it's a man's fear as Satan is initiating to the old nature. Why? Because the new nature cannot fear. The spirit cannot fear. Why? Because whatsoever is of God does not sin, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And fear is the opposite of faith. I trust God. I am removed by the simplicity of faith by fear. And that's how Satan did it with Eve, and that's how he does it with every person still. He tries to get them to fear. You know what? If you have fear, you've been listening to somebody you shouldn't have been listening to, and you thought the thoughts were your own. I got news for you. They were not your own thoughts. They were initiated to you by the atmosphere, and they were disguised as a thought. This is how projections work. This is why projections are often so effective. Because I think I'm thinking with my own thoughts, but I'm not. I'm actually having whispers in my ear that sound like my voice to me. But it's not my voice. It's the voice of the enemy. Just like with Eve. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a moment. Turn there, please, in your Bibles. Go to verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. The spiritual father speaking to his spiritual son. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. According to the prophecies which went before on thee. In other words, according to the preaching, the word prophecies there is forthtelling, not foretelling. According to the preaching which went on before you. In other words, your path was prepared by preaching of the word. According to that preaching which went on before you, that you, by them, by that preaching, might war a good warfare. By the preaching that went before me, I war a good warfare. Now in verse 19, let's put it together with verse 18. I charge and I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, according to the preaching that went before you, that you might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith, holding trust in God's word, holding trust in God's character, holding trust in God's promises, and holding trust in God's faithfulness. And a good conscience, which comes when I have faith in the four aspects of faith. which some having put away concerning faith. Some people have removed the preaching from themselves, and they've removed themselves from the word that was preached to them. Some have removed themselves from the definition and the doctrine that has been given them, so they are no longer in faith, have made shipwreck. They've shipwrecked themselves. When I go away from the definition that has been given me through preaching, and I remove faith from my life by so doing, I shipwreck my life. It's no longer functioning. I've seen this happen to people time and again. They remove themselves from the word that was preached to them. They push it away, often because of things like reaction, often because of things like a desire that is apart from God. I know one man who went after money. Now he doesn't even believe the word of God, lives in immorality. I push the word away. I lose that sweet faith that I had, and I shipwreck my life. Do you see the importance? Do you see the importance? I can't trust my natural thinking. I can only trust His Word and His character and His promises and His faithfulness. Otherwise, I shipwreck my life. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Proverbs 28:25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." He that does not agree with the Word stirs up strife. "But he that putteth trust in the Lord shall be made fat," and that is talking about his soul body. If I put my trust in the Word, I will have an enormously healthy soul. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding." Trust in the Lord in all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. With the entirety of your frame of reference, trust God's Word, trust God's character, trust God's promises, and trust His faithfulness, and don't lean on your own understanding. You can't lean on your understanding. Why? Isaiah 1:5, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint." Do you know why people's lives seem to take a spiral downward? Because they depart from the simplicity of faith. And they start to hold on. Like we were saying earlier, they'll start to... You know what? They get to the point where they have to make a decision between pride and humility. And some people, sometimes, and we all go there from time to time, they'll choose pride and they start to hold on to the reaction. And they have to defend it because they won't humble themselves. And they become servants of the reaction. That reaction becomes their idol. And now Satan is very effective in their life because they have an idol. Remember, idols have demons attached. It's initiated by a demon. And so what do? I don't hold on to the reaction. I let it go. I cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ or against the knowledge of Christ. I cast it down. I don't hold on to my mistake. I cast it down. That's humility. There is no shame in casting down a mistake. The righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again. But the wicked man stays down. The wicked man holds on to the reaction. The righteous man may have reacted, may have made a mistake, whatever it may be, but he'll throw it away. And he'll say, "God, I made a mistake." And in 1 John 1:9, God's faithful and just to forgive that mistake and instantly restores him. It's not that I don't make mistakes, it's that I don't keep mistakes. Do you understand that? Everybody's going to make a mistake. It's not that I don't make mistakes, it's that I don't keep mistakes. It's not that I don't make mistakes, it's that I don't keep mistakes. The whole head is sick. The whole natural mind is sick. This is why I can't trust my own thinking if it's apart from the Word of God. Because my whole natural mind is sick and my whole heart, my whole frame of reference is completely faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. What's in it? Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This is the natural mind. So what do? Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I don't get rid of my faith. I don't get rid of trusting God's word. I don't get rid of trusting God's character. I don't get rid of trusting God's promises. And I don't get rid of trusting God's faithfulness. By the way, dullness is a momentum test. When things seem to be less exciting than they used to be, you've entered into a momentum test. People will get from time to time in their walk with God where the Word of God is not as exciting to them as they used to. They still will be there. They'll still be faithful, but it doesn't quite do for them what it used to do. You know what? That happens to everybody. It's a momentum test. It's to cause me to start making right decisions apart from my feelings. Why? Because if I make decisions according to my feelings, I can't make right decisions. So the momentum test is there to cause me to make right decisions apart from my feelings, and that's how I get trained. That little bit of dullness that comes in, and that you sense in your heart, and you kind of wonder, what is going on here? It's not what it used to be. I mean, I still want it. It's just not what it used to be. But you've entered into a momentum test. That's what's going on in your heart. You've entered into a momentum test. And it's there to cause you to make objective decisions according to God's word, not according to your feelings. Everybody goes there from time to time. I've been there. Everybody goes there. Proverbs 25, verse 8a. Go not therefore hastily to strive. Don't make any hasty decisions. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. You know what happens in a hasty decision? You end up in a place where you're completely confused. And you go there because you think somehow it's going to be better, and it's actually going to be worse. Because you've run from the provision of your maturity. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. This is why people make those choices, because fear has torment. They're afraid of something and they think something's going to go horribly wrong. I got news for you. The only horribly wrong that can happen is if I go apart from faith, if I go apart from God, if I meddle with change. That's where horribly wrong comes. That's where that enters in. 2 Timothy 1:17, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You see, my fear did not come from God, but He has given me a power, a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. He has given me power, His work in my life, His love in my life, and good, sound thinking through His Word. That's what God has given me. He's given me power, love, and good, sound thinking through His Word. He has given me power, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He's given me His love, and He's given me good, sound thinking through His Word. He has not given me a spirit of fear. The enemy does that. Jesus said in Luke 8:50, fear not, believe only, and you'll be made whole. Don't be afraid, just believe, and you'll be made whole. Second Chronicles 20:20, in the B part of the verse, where does that come from? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. It's talking about the preacher. Believe the Lord, you'll be established. Believe the prophet, believe the preacher, and you'll prosper. That's how your soul prospers. It's God's word, guys. It's in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober. Have a good, strong mind in the Word of God. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of God's deliverance. The hope that God will come through for me. And finally, in Matthew 9:29, and He touched their eyes, their perception, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. The Word of God, the character of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God touches my perception. And then according to my faith, it will be unto me. According to my faith, it will be unto me. Simple faith. Simple faith. The only way to live is simple faith. Otherwise, you're not living. The just will live by faith. Excuse me, the just will live by faith. That's where the life comes from. Simple faith. Simply believing. Simple faith. Simply trusting as a child trusts his father. Simple faith. Amen.